What Janet was saying reminds me of something. I got a call from my son last night. And whenever we get a call from our kids, my son, for those of you who don't know, is down at Liberty University. He is a sophomore. And my daughter is living just a few miles away down in Virginia. And whenever we get calls from our kids, 9 times out of 10, they call Connie. And when I get the call, 9 times out of 10, it means there's a problem. So I can imagine your father getting that call and beginning to realize, uh-oh, there might be something wrong here. Last night, my son called me, and we went through this very thing. I was being very spiritual, watching the Penn State football game. And right in the middle of the game, my son calls me, and he says, "Dad, what are you doing?" And as soon as the phone rang, Connie and I looked at each other, and we thought, uh-oh, there's a problem. So he called me. He said, "Hey, Dad, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching the Penn State game." He said, "Well, that's why I called you." I said, "Oh, you're watching game?" He said, "No." He said, "Liberty just beat Penn State in hockey 15-1. I thought, awesome. He didn't call because there was trouble. Paul has written a book that we're looking at, the book of Philippians, to a group of people who he had led to Christ. And it has now, as I mentioned last Sunday morning, it's been about 10 years since Paul saw them. And he's writing back to talk to those people he hadn't seen in 10 years. And circumstances have changed. Paul is now in jail. And you can imagine if, as I mentioned last Sunday morning, if there's 10 years from today, you haven't heard from me in 10 years. Connie and I left town and we went on to other ministries and we came back, or I write back because now I'm in jail. And you're wondering, what in the world is he doing in jail? So, well, maybe you might know, but he's writing back. It's 10 years and Paul's writing back and he's saying, you know, I'm in jail and I want you to know about my circumstances. Janet got lost in the woods. Tyler got in a car accident last night. Car flipped over twice. Ended up in the emergency room. Frank and Debbie were there until after midnight last night. You know, all kinds of things happen in our lives. Things often we don't plan for and things that are out of our control. And when things like that happen, you know, we often wonder what's going on. And sometimes we complain, and sometimes we ask God why. And we need to realize that when problems come our way, they're either going to make us better or they're going to make us bitter. And I mentioned that a couple Sunday nights ago, and that's what we need to realize about problems. They're either going to make us better or bitter. And I want you to know, bitter does not look good. And when you become bitter because of your problems, you're probably not going to recognize it. And even if you do, you're not going to realize how ugly it looks. So Paul's writing back to them, and he's really trying to help them how to become better instead of bitter. So the next 3 Sunday mornings, I want to look at that. I want to look at how, as we go through our problems, we can learn to rejoice. And I want you to know it's not easy, and most people don't. Most people allow their problems to make them bitter, and most people do not rejoice when they're going through troubles. And I am an example this week of not doing that, so I just want to open my book and let you know I was ugly this week. I forget what day it was. I think it was Monday. No, it was Tuesday, and the church computer died. I was getting this thing up, and yeah, I only have so much time to get things done, probably like your life, and I got to get them done these times. If I'm not getting them done these times, then that means I'm starting to get behind, and the more you get behind, it's like the rock begins to roll down the hill. And, you know, I don't have the kind of job where I call in sick. Some pastors do that. They get up on Sunday morning and say, "Well, God's led me to have a praise service." That means they didn't do what they were supposed to during the week. So anyway, the computer, it's not working right, so we have this service where we could actually talk to someone in America. at the church. So I call and I got this guy in America from Dell, and I'm talking back and forth for an hour, and you know the ball's rolling down the hill. And he said, "I'm sorry, I can't fix your problem. It's a I'm trying to think who we have for viruses. McAfee. We have McAfee." He says, "You're going to have to call McAfee." So I called McAfee, and I get a guy from India, and he spoke real good English, and real good guy. So we're talking for a while, and you know, I'm sitting there, and I'm going, "Oh, the ball's rolling downhill, and get behind this really stinks." And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking and reading, because he put me on hold. You know, they do that. They put you on hold to figure out how to help you. He put me on hold, and I'm reading this passage. And I'm looking, and I'm thinking, I got to preach about this week, and here I am letting the problems get to me. So it was really good in my life. So I want to tell you two things I learned this week that helped me as I dealt with the computer problem and as we deal with life and things that we need to be reminded of. Here's the first one. Look for God's hand in your problems. Look for God's hand in your problems. Remember, Paul is in jail. He's writing back to the Philippians, and I want you to notice verse 12. "Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." Paul's in jail. Sitting in jail, what's he thinking about? He's thinking about how God's hand was in his life and that even though he was sitting in jail, the fact that he was in jail has really served the gospel. Now, I want you to know, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if there is a point in your life where you asked Christ to change your life, where you became a Christian, where you've turned to Christ to save you from your sin, then God is at work in every circumstance you come in, whether it's in a car accident, whether you're lost in the woods. That was great, her saying that about, you know, waiting on father, dad. Whatever it is in your life, I want you to know God's hand is in your life and God is at work. And we often need to be reminded of that, as I was this week. In fact, in Romans, it says this, you know it. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, for those who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." Now, listen to this. "What then shall we say in response to all of this?" God's at work in our life. God loves you. God's hand is working in everything to help you to become like Jesus Christ. God is in every avenue, everything that comes your way, whether good or bad. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. It is he that condemns. Now, who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's hand is at work in every single thing you are going through. No matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how problematic, and no matter how long it lasts, God wants to teach you something. God wants to use you. God wants to work in your life, and he cannot do it if you become bitter. He can only do it If you look for God's hand in everything you go through and you allow the things you go through to make you better. He can only do it if you allow the things that you go through in life to help you to become a testimony for God. And if you allow your problems, your circumstances, your difficulties, all the troubles that you go through, if you allow them to make you bitter, then God can't use you. And you will actually do worse. You will actually become a bad testimony for God. God has a purpose in all our problems, and that's what Paul's saying. He's sitting in jail. Well, actually, it was a rented house. He was in jail, but it was a house that they had put him in. They would not allow him to leave. He was chained to a guard. He was stuck there in the house. They'd allow him to have visitors, but basically, he's in prison. Now, prison becomes the place where he's at. And in that place, he's sitting there thinking and saying, you know what? Hey, I haven't seen you in 10 years. But God's using this circumstance in my life to advance the gospel, to serve the gospel. You may know the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph was hated by his brothers. They hated him so much, they beat him up and they threw him in a well and they were going to leave him there to die. You know, this wasn't just sibling rivalry. This wasn't just brothers having fun with brothers, as often happens. They hated him. They throw him in a well, and they're leaving him. They're going to let him die in there. But one of the brothers finally speaks up and says, yeah, we can't do this to him. Let's just sell him into slavery. So they do that. Sell him into slavery. In slavery, he's sold to the Egyptians. As he's in the Egyptian house, the wife of the leader looks at him and says, I want you to go to bed with me. And Joseph says, no, he does the right thing. She ran to her husband. Because of that, the husband believed the wife. He gets thrown in jail. In jail, he's left there for years, totally forgotten. He finally gets out because God's hand is at work in his life. His brothers finally come to Egypt because there's a famine in the world. And they finally realize that the guy they're standing before, who now holds control over their lives, is their brother Joseph, who had been sold into slavery. Joseph could allow them to live or he could kill them. The brothers are saying they're afraid to death he's going to kill them. And Joseph looks at them and he says, I want you to know what has happened in my life has served, and God has put me here. And God had a reason for doing it. And it was to save many lives. You know, you look at your life. You're hated by your brothers. You're thrown in the well to be killed. They lie and say that you're dead to your parents. You're sold into slavery. You're sold again into slavery. You're then put in prison. You're left there forgotten about. You finally get out. You look back over your life and say, God was at work in all these things. God's hand was upon me. Well, you know, when you're in circumstances, what we really need to be doing is we need to be looking for God's hand and watching how God is at work in our life to use us to do great things for Him. And sometimes we find ourselves in these circumstances, we look around and we say, I don't see God's hand. I don't see what God is doing. All I see is my life is really rotten. Then what you need to do is you need to look by faith and just believe God with all your heart that God is at work in your circumstances and God's hand is in your problems. And by faith, believe that God will use you if you do not become bitter. He says to them, look, he says, I know that God's hand, basically that God's hand is here. This thing, this me being in jail has served to advance the gospel. God is using this to advance the gospel. You want to know how to rejoice in everything? No matter what you're going through, no matter what is happening in your life, look for God's hand. Look for God's hand. Sitting in problems, believe that God's going to use you in that to do something great. I sat there as I was having this computer problem, and I began to realize that God's hand has to be here somewhere, so what is God doing? So I'm sitting on the computer with this guy from India, and I'm always trying to talk to these computer guys when I get them. And I'll ask them, how's the weather? You know, try to carry on conversation. And most of the time, they're not real talkative. You know what happens? This guy, we're sitting there, and he says, "So how's the weather where you're at?" I thought, uh-oh, here we go. And I got the opportunity to talk to him about Christ. Opportunity I would never probably have if I were in India. It would be very hard. Next day, I go on the notebook computer, and I begin to work on that. And that computer had the same problem. I know I don't need to call Dell. I know it's time to call India, McAfee. I call India, and India is a very big country. And I call India, and as I'm talking on the phone, it didn't take very long, and something popped in my head. I've heard this voice before. I know this name. It's the same guy I got the day before. Now, how do you call India and get the same guy to talk about a computer problem? So we talk more about the gospel. God's hand is at work in your life if you're willing to look for it, and if you're willing to follow and allow God to work, make you better and not bitter. Paul's writing back to him, says, "Look, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." Number two. Expect opportunities from your problems. Expect opportunities from your problems. Now, when I go through problems, I immediately look, all right, what's God doing? Don't always know, don't always see. Job was never told why he went through the things he went through. And I'm not asking necessarily, why is this happening to me? No, I'm looking to see what God's trying to do. We need to expect positive opportunities from your problems. If you're willing to keep a right heart attitude, if you're willing to become better and not bitter, if you're willing to allow God to use you in problems and to live above your problems and live through your problems and rejoice in your problems, then God will do some things in your problems. I want you to notice in this passage, Paul names four things that God did through the fact that he was in jail. Look at verse 13 with me. "As a result, I'm in jail. What has happened to me, I'm in jail. God is advancing the gospel. As a result, it has become clear through the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." First thing that Paul sees God's hand at work doing is that his problems gave him an opportunity for evangelism. His problems gave him an opportunity for evangelism. In Acts chapter 28, it explains Paul's position that we find here in Philippians. He's in jail. He's under constant guard. But as he's under constant guard, he takes the opportunity to tell the guys who are guarding him about Jesus Christ. And we see what happens here. He says, look, as a result, the whole palace guard, and everybody else knows that I am in jail for Christ. What Paul is talking about is the fact that he was in jail for preaching the gospel. Because Paul preached the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for our sins. Because he did that, they put him in jail. Now in jail, he says, look, everybody knows why I'm here. Everybody knows because I preach the gospel, that's why I'm in chains. They all know that because Paul took the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Guards probably heard him talking to others about his faith in Christ, about ministry, so that as a prisoner, all those guys who are guarding him knows his faith in Christ. There was a lady during World War II by the name of Corrie ten Boom. And if you haven't read her story, you ought to get the book. Talks about her being in jail and being in jail, how she used opportunities to tell people and to live Jesus Christ in her life. You know, I think if we were in jail for Christ, most of us would be miserable. And I want you to know in America that could come. There are things happening in our government that very easily could turn the tide in America that if you proclaim Jesus Christ publicly, you could go to jail. Paul's case, if we were to say it in our way today, became the talk of the town. He says, everybody knows I'm in jail for Christ, for preaching the gospel. I wonder, next time you have a problem, next time you're going through difficulties, and you're around people who don't know Jesus, tell them about Christ. Look for an opportunity to tell them about Christ. See what happens. Paul says, I'm in jail for preaching, for Christ, preaching the gospel. I want you to notice the second thing, verse 14. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. His problems gave him an opportunity to encourage others. Because of him, the brothers, the other Christians there, they became more courageous and more fearless. Courageous is a word that means to dare. It has the idea of defying danger and defying opposition. And though there's danger and opposition, you do something anyway. You become brave. So Paul says, look, the brothers, the Christians are looking at my life, and because I'm in jail, and basically because of the way he had responded, he says, the brothers, they're more courageous, more fearless. They're out there preaching the gospel. They're out there speaking the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. You know, I say it all the time, but people are watching you. People are watching your life. And they're looking to see how you respond to problems. Especially those who are around you and you've been talking to about your relationship with Jesus Christ. They want to see how you respond. And if you respond poorly, they're looking at you and they may not say it and they may say it. And they're looking at your life and they're saying, he doesn't really believe what he's saying. She doesn't really believe what she's saying. They want to see if what you believe, what you say is real in your life. And they most often see that when you go through problems, when you go through difficulties, when you're lost in the middle of the woods, when your car is rolled over two times. You know, they're looking at your life as you're going through problems, as you're looking at your wallet and you see there's not enough money to pay your bills. When you're trying to keep your head above these difficult financial times. You know, when you're sick as dog and you're laying on the couch or bed and you've got the flu, you know, they're watching your life and they want to know if what you're saying is real. Paul says, look, my life, and he's not saying it braggedly. He's not saying it, you know, in a proud way. He's just saying, my life has served, my situation, my problem has served to cause the brothers who are here to speak out more courageously and fearlessly. There's a third thing that Paul saw that was a result of his problems. It's this. Problems gave him an opportunity to preach Christ. His problems gave an opportunity for Christ to be preached. Verse 15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Can you imagine this? Paul is sitting in jail, sitting in this rented home, under guard, and he says, look, there are people around me who are preaching Christ, but they're doing so with false, wrong motives. Their motive for preaching Christ is to stir up trouble for me. Now, Paul does not mention who they are, and there are several possibilities, but I don't want to get into that. What I want to say this morning is, here's the guy sitting in jail. There are people out there preaching Christ, but their motive is to get him in trouble. And Paul sits back and says, I'm rejoicing. I'm happy. You got to think about this. Paul is happy because people are preaching Jesus Christ with false motives. Well, not fully. He's happy that even though they have false motives, Christ is still preached. Now, I want you to know, if you can be chained in prison and you're sitting there and here's some guys out there preaching, trying to cause trouble for you, trying to cause problems for you, but yet they're preaching Christ, and you can sit back and say, yeah, I know they're trying to get me in trouble, but who cares about that? What's really going on here is Christ is being preached, and for that I rejoice. Tell you what, when you get to that point in your life, you're really learning how to go through problems rejoicing. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. Whether false motives, whether right motives, doesn't matter. The reality is Jesus Christ is being preached. For that I rejoice. There's a fourth thing that Paul says here. Why don't you notice down in verse 19. Comes at the end of verse 18 and verse 19. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ has happened to turn out for my deliverance. Here's the fourth thing. His problems gave an opportunity to trust God. His problems gave him an opportunity to trust God. He says, look, through your prayers and help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me, what has happened in my life, is going to turn out for my deliverance. Are you one of those kind of people that, you know, you always want to only go those places where you know you're absolutely 100% safe? Yeah, I sat back, stood back here and kind of laughed this morning. You know, I kind of joked around and said, don't shake anyone's hand kind of wave. And a whole bunch of you were shaking hands, and I'm sure there were some of you scared to death. Oh, no, I'm going to get the flu. They're shaking my hand. If you never put yourself in a position where you never have to trust God, I want you to know you're missing out. Paul is saying, look, what's gone on here, it served for my deliverance. This thing has given Paul an opportunity to trust God. And you will never grow, you will never come to the place that God wants you to be until you go through problems and difficulties and troubles and all kinds of circumstances of life where you find yourself in a place where you have to trust God. And that's exactly what James says in James chapter 1. That our trials come in many different colors, and they're there to cause us to persevere, to develop perseverance in our life. And as perseverance develops, it makes us a mature Christian. I'm sure there are many things you can point to in life, and you would look back and you say, I wish I didn't have to go through that. We need to change our thinking. We need to realize as we go through problems, God is using that problem in our life and he's helping to work in our life trust, faith. You ever see some people, it seems like they can trust God for anything? That didn't happen by accident. They didn't wake up one morning and say, all right, I'm just going to trust God for everything. Let's go. God brought things in their life to help them to learn to trust him. And as they learned to trust him, they grew. And as they learned to trust him more, they grew more. And as they learned to trust him more, they grew more. But I can't step back and say, I know exactly what God is doing in everything that comes your way. I can't step back and say, look, if you're going through this problem, turn to this page and it will tell you why you're going through. But Paul says, here's four reasons why I went through this problem. Here's four things that can help us rejoice as I went through this thing. But I want you to know, whatever it is you're going through in life, or whatever it is you're going to find still in life, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, God has a hand in it. And God's going to work in that situation. God's going to work through that situation. And God's going to begin to do things in your life to help you to grow and help you to learn. And he might even use your life to bring him glory. Look for God's hand in your problems. Realize, believe that God's going to do positive things in everything you go through if you go through them trusting him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we serve such a great God. And we thank you, Lord, for your great love. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you might be here this morning saying, you know what? I'm going through a lot of things right now, and I need some prayer. Don't anyone look around, but if you're going through problems and you just want someone to pray for you, raise your hand, put it down. Yep. Bunch of hands. Anyone else, just raise your hand, put it down, saying, I need God's help, just want someone to pray for me. Father God, you've seen all these hands. You know what all these lives are facing. Father, I pray that you would help each of these people. Help them, Lord, to trust you. Help them, Father, to see the great things you can do in their lives if they trust you. Father, I pray that you might use this circumstance, this situation in their life to bring you glory so that you may be praised. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.